And turn, if you would, now back to the Gospel of John, to chapter 5. And the text this special resurrection morning is verses 35 and 36, which speaks of first John the Baptist and then of Jesus Christ. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. I've had a particular passion to speak about John the Baptist from this text for quite a long time. This particular text speaks of John the Baptist as a bright and burning light. And you're going to ask the question right away, why on this particular Lord's Day do I speak from this particular text? Well, we'll get there, I hope, in the providence of God. But it's of deep interest to us, I think, that Jesus Christ describes John as a burning and shining light. I know of no light at all, which is bright, which is not also at the same time hot. There's a lot of research being done in this area, but when you look at the sun, for example, it is a bright light and we covet the heat of the sun. I know more than one of us has been coveting the heat of the sun these past weeks as there's been quite a lot of rain, and we're glad to see the heat of the sun. Those stars that are out there, they're not as bright to us, but they burn with a white hot heat. And were we to get as close to them as we are as close to the sun, we would be incinerated by that heat. And how many of you have changed the light bulb lately? Watch out for the heat. Don't burn yourself. That's how it is. And John is described not only as a shining light, but a burning light. Jesus is also, dear friends, a bright and burning light. And guess what? Christians are also to be bright and burning lights in the world. John chapter 5, verse 35. He was the lamp that was burning and shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the one who was designated by God to prepare the way of the Lord. Make the path straight in the wilderness was his cry. He was the harbinger of the good things of the kingdom of God, which was to come, as he brought the special message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was the precursor of Christ. He was the one designated, as I have said, to pave the way. And it's of no small interest, it seems to me, that the message of John and the message of Jesus Christ were exactly the same. If you have your Bible there and you want to follow, turn back, keeping your finger in John chapter 5 to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 3. Chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2 in the Gospel of Matthew. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was the message. It's not the most popular message. It's not the message that you hear today, which is broadcast loudly and plainly. We're into warm and fuzzy these days in the church, it seems to me. We'd rather have a cuddly message rather than the message of real change that Jesus Christ brings. But that's the message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you turn the page in your Bibles to John or to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, you see that Jesus speaks the very same words. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the message. And that message needed, in the mouth of John the Baptist, to not only be broadcast, but it needed to be fleshed out so that people would understand the message and that they would understand the truth of God. That's what a message is, isn't it? Supposedly, the presentation of truth. And interestingly enough, that's what John was commissioned to bring, was truth from the mouth of God. John wasn't interested in, listen to this, folks, John wasn't interested in engaging individuals in some sort of existential encounter. That wasn't his primary purpose. His primary purpose was to set forth a message that had specific content so that people would learn the message, and as they learned that message, they would be changed by that message. J. Gresham Machen has a book that was written a long time ago entitled Christianity and Liberalism, in which he contrasts two different messages. And the wonderful thing he says in that book is that the lives of men and women are transformed. They are changed through the message of Jesus Christ and the content of that message. Truth is a bright and shining light. But John was not only a bright and shining light, he was a burning light, Jesus says. And you know what I think Jesus means here? He means that John came to proclaim the truth with passion. I cannot imagine John the Baptist standing at the edge of the Jordan and seeing the multitudes come to be baptized and saying, as it is quoted in the scriptures in a monotone, "Who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" Is that the kind of passion that John the Baptist had? "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" I can't imagine John the Baptist pronouncing it in any other way. Except with a heart full of that passion born of the Holy Spirit of the living God. You know, another thing happened to John. John was beheaded. You know why he was beheaded? He dared to stand against King Herod. And he was thrown into prison. And he said to Herod, Herod,
it's not good for you to have your brother's wife. It was a little more forceful than that, I take it. And I imagine that John the Baptist stood before King Herod and he said, Herod, you listen to me. By the word of God, I tell you, it is not right, it is not lawful, you are breaking the commandments of God, it is not proper for you to have your brother's wife, and you are condemned by the word of God for your misdeeds. And I reckon, dear friends, that it was because of his passion that he suffered the penalty of death. And if he had had no passion for the message which he proclaimed, he would have suffered no penalty. He was a bright and burning light. That's what Jesus says. Now listen to this. On a second count, Jesus compares himself to John. And in verse 36 he says, but the witness which I have is greater than that of John. In other words, Jesus is saying of himself, the light that I bear in truth is a more penetrating light. Truth is being presented. And I can't imagine Jesus Christ presenting that truth in any other way except with deep passion as a burning light. Jesus Christ was the epitome of truth. He was walking, talking truth itself. And when you saw Jesus Christ, you saw God walking in human form in this world. You saw truth incarnate. Jesus said it. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And the Jews were upset with that. I can't imagine Jesus saying it in any other way except with deep conviction and passion. Had not Jesus presented himself in this way, it seems to me that the Jews would not have been so upset with him. And they would not have crucified him. Truth came from the lips of Jesus Christ as honey drips from the comb. And those who loved Jesus Christ waited on every word that he spoke because of the truth that came from him. Let's look at one example. Again, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7. Here's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Here are wonderful words. Wonderful words of Jesus Christ, which are utter truth. That if you build your life on the precepts and the sayings of Jesus Christ, it is like building your life on a foundation which absolutely cannot be shaken. And although you may be subject to all the storms and temptations of life, the house of your life will not be broken down. And how good that is. But if you do not build your life on the precepts, on the truth of Scripture, it's like building your house on a sandbar, and when the tide rises, your life is swept away. Isn't it true in our society and in our culture? We are seeing that very thing take place before our very eyes as men and women are rejecting the truth of God as set forth by Jesus Christ. And they are literally thumbing their noses at Jesus Christ and saying that you people who gather together to worship Him are a bunch of dupes and idiots. Not so. Not so. And dear friends, how did Jesus Christ present Himself? Look at the very end of Matthew 7. Verses 28 and 29 say, the result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at His teaching. For He was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. When they heard Jesus Christ and they saw Him with passion bringing the Word of God, they recognized an authority in His presentations that was not present in the presentations of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'll tell you what, I really can't imagine Jesus, as He is sometimes portrayed, sitting on the side of that mountain, calmly, in a monotone, quietly, very quietly, giving the parables and the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. I can't picture it that way at all. And neither can I picture Jesus Christ when He cried out, as it's recorded in Matthew 23, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites!" I can't imagine Him not pronouncing those words with passion. Can't imagine it. John the Baptist was a burning and shining light. And the witness of Jesus Christ was even greater. It was a burning and shining light. And if you go back to John chapter 5, once again, you see that Jesus says in verse 36, "But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Jesus came onto the scene working miracles which no one denied. Jesus Christ came onto the scene healing the sick, casting out demons, causing the lame to walk. Jesus Christ came on to the plains of Galilee and walked in Judea as a man who performed those mighty deeds, and none of His enemies even dared to deny that He did those mighty deeds. He was recognized by all because of them. And when He was crucified, the greatest deed of all was accomplished as He took the sins of men and women on Himself, suffered and was laid in a tomb, and then came forth bodily. And the greatest miracle, the greatest witness of Jesus Christ being sent from the Father, the resurrection, was accomplished.
you believe it? Do you believe it?
Do you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Are you a Christian person today? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. To be a Christian person, you must follow Jesus Christ and you must believe in your heart of hearts because of all the evidence in the Gospels that this Jesus was actually raised again from the grave. That's what Christianity is about, friends. That's what it's about. And dear friends, that's why we're here this morning. And I want to tell you something. That if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you too are called to be a bright and burning light. I want you to see something in the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. And verse 5. John chapter 9 and verse 5 says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." In reading through the Gospel of John, when I came to that place, I was stopped in my tracks. I was stuck on those words of Jesus, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." While I am in the world. Yes, Jesus said it more than once, "I am the light of the world." But here He qualifies it in a very interesting way and says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And now Jesus Christ is not walking in the world. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Jesus Christ ascended bodily into heaven. And He sits presently at the right hand of God the Father. He is not presently in the world. Bodily, as He was when He spoke those words. What about the light in the world? Jesus said, "You, Christian friends, are the lights of the world." Isn't that what Jesus said? You are the lights of the world. Those are amazing words. Christian people, Christian men and women, Christian boys and girls, Christian young people, Christian college people are called by Jesus Christ to be lights in the world. How does this work? Well, there's a wonderful text in the book of Ephesians. It's a prayer of Jesus Christ. And it's in the first chapter of Ephesians. And I'd like you to see it. Paul prays in Ephesians this way. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power, so that His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." There is power.
There is power given by the Holy Spirit of the living God to people like you and me, dear friends, in Jesus Christ. And what is that power? That power, my friends, is none other than the power which God exercised when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That power is resurrection power. That power is resurrection life. That life is a life which transforms, which alters, which redeems, which renews. That is a life that is transforming in every respect. That is resurrection life. I'm going to jump around a little bit here. And the reason I'm going to jump around a little bit here, because this excites me just a tad. I want to tell you something, friends. If God actually did raise Jesus Christ from the grave, and that's the message which people like you and me have, and if Jesus Christ in turn has poured out the Holy Spirit upon people like you and me, giving to us resurrection life, if you can't speak about that passionately, if that is not the center of your life, then you don't have it. There's a problem. You know what the problem is? The problem is so often we look at this book and we read this book and it is utterly dead and without life and we have no passion for the truth of God. I thank God. I thank God that a young lady in this congregation said to me, "This congregation is unlike some other congregations in our denomination, which are dead." That's a serious indictment. And if that's true, we may have the truth. But if it's without passion, my friends, it's dead. And I don't know, but I can't myself lay back and without passion talk about the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christians are called upon because of this fact of history and this truth, the resurrection. Christians are called upon to be bright and burning lights in the world. That is, Christians like you and me are called upon to be those who present the truth of God with passion. Is that where we are as a congregation? Is that where you are as individuals? That's where you should be. Because God did raise this Jesus from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom. Give us, O God, your light and your passion for your truth. We pray in Jesus' name.